Hallelujah. Today, prisoners of hope is the message. Amen. Prisoners of hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bible to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. Zechariah chapter 9, I believe it's 12. Please, whoever is on that place, hurry up today. Zechariah 9:12. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Read with me, everybody. Turn you to the stronghold. Everybody, read with me again from beginning. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. Amen. Amen. Double, double. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn you to the stronghold, he says, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double portion to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, bless your word. Let it be a blessing to all that will listen this day. And those that will watch or listen later on, Lord, let it be a blessing to them also in Jesus' name. That, Father, in our hopes, our expectations, our heart desires, we shall receive double in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be prisoners of hope? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It means, by the grace of God, that you are bound to the hope. You are welded to the hope. You are shackled to the hope. Even in the hope, in the face of hopelessness. Now, taking your hope prisoner through the comprehensive faith you have in the Word of God means again that you are bound, welded, and shackled to your hope, even in the face of hopelessness. We are, by nature, needy children. And we have desires and aspirations. We have expectations. Things that we want God to do like yesterday. Things that we desire that is pertinent, that's very important to us. And it cut across every area of life. Some are your children. Some are your spouses, things concerning them. Some might be your families, your health issue, your financial situation. That job that you are applying for, and by God you need it, I haven't worked for 1 year or 2 years or 6 months. That little business you are starting, and you couldn't figure out how to get the finance for it. At the moment, the people that are supposed to help you are backing out of it. Some of this issue is worse than others. Some are maybe be life issue. Life is dependent on it. And you have hope for it to be fulfilled. Oh my, I want to get married. I want this to happen. And it looks like time is passing by and your hope is not being realized. And many a times, when things go this way, voices start to come from different areas of your life. Why don't you just yield, give up? Why don't you change the situation or do it like this? But you say, I know that the Lord has promised me this. I know that the Lord has given me assurances of this. I have prayed, I have received revelation, I have been convinced that this is what God is going to do. But it has been long in waiting. One of those voices came to somebody like Abraham. Ah, Daddy Abraham, the wife says, it has been years that the Lord promised us this. It's going to 25 good years. Somebody very close to Abraham gave him a wrong suggestion, tempting one also. Why don't you go to my handmaid and let her bear children for me to hold and call my own? Abraham went to it. Men and brethren, you see the headache that has caused us thousands of years later. The product of it was what? Ishmael. And every nation of the world is feeling the pang of that one small mistake, as it will seem, had become a thorn in the flesh of the whole nations of the world. So in the midst of your hope, at times when it's not being realized, people close to you or friends or whatever can start to give you ideas or understanding or a way to change the situation. Be careful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Always take it to the Lord. God have a purpose in giving you that hope. We just pray for our brother here who is believing God for his album to be platinum. That's hope. Every one of us sitting here have hope for one thing or the other. Every one of us sitting here have something that they would like God to have done like yesterday and taken care of. I have this confusion at times that used to be many years ago, that when I see people dress up like I dress up now, throw some lotion over your head and smile and look good and jump around, and you think, oh, ha, everything must be okay. Life is just great for that person. I wish I am like him. So I have this lady that was really nice, every time smiling, every time full of life, every time so exuberant of life, and so on and so forth. I said, wow, I made great for her. She dresses good. She looks good. She talks good. She's always very helpful, very professional. I mean, just you can't cut her at the moment she's not smiling or happy. Then one day, because of wanting to find out what is the deal here, must be just everything cheap. He said, no, actually, I think it's stage 4 cancer. Then he downloaded me with the chemotherapies, surgeries over the years, radiation therapy. Maybe the hair that is not actually their hair because I'm actually bald and stuff or whatever. Say, my God, I never see you without a smile in your face. I never see you with so. I didn't know you are going through such a burden in life. It is what you make of your hope, your situation that will define you, not what people or circumstances or the enemy tries to make. I cried unto the Lord on her behalf. Say, Lord, if for no other reason, answer my prayer on her behalf in Jesus' name. She's still alive and kicking today to the glory of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this text was taken from the Bible when so many people were exiled in hope, like many of us are exiled in hope. Exiled from your hope. Look like hope is gone. Look at his hopelessness. They disobeyed God initially and went into captivity in the land of Babylon. After years of God mercy and God's forgiveness, just have it up to here and allow Nebuchadnezzar to take them captive. It happens that in captivity, there's no freedom, there's no liberty, there's really no joy. We've taught on this message some months ago. Zionists in Babylon, what they have to go through. So these people have suffered for 70 years, but there was a promise of restoration. There's a promise that God had given through Jeremiah that 70 years hence, I will bring you to the land of promise. Back to Jerusalem, back to Judea, back to Israel. So 70 years to the time, Cyrus the great king declared freedom for the people of God. Go back to your native land. And they went back with full of hope and joy, only to come to desolation, because the land they have known, the land they have heard of, some of them have died along the way. Some of them have heard about how beautiful Jerusalem was, how great the temple and things and so on and so forth. And some of them probably left when they were like 10 years old, so they are coming back an old man. Only to come and see the desolation. Only to see that the walls of Jerusalem are torn down. Only so their hope dashed to the ground practically. And being what we are as a human being, they start to despair. They start to have doubts about the promises of God through Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the rest of them. And they started doing as Isaiah said, they started to build themselves a system. Howbeit it's a broken system that cannot hold any water. And they start to move away from the source of the living water himself, Christ Jesus. And that's the case of many of us when hope is deferred. That's the case of myself on many occasions when hope is deferred. Postponed, put in the back corner. It's no more around the corner. You are groping in darkness and you can't see the light anywhere. You look like this and it seems God is, the God of hope is not there again. And you start to make yourself a cistern. A cistern is something they do in the days of the old to hold water, a tank. But it's only a broken system that can hold no water. And then they forsake the spring of the living water. They look over the resource of their strength, of their hope. And they start to despair and say, when is the Messianic kingdom coming? When is the promises of God going to be fulfilled? When is the thing that the Lord has spoken through his prophets on our behalf? How long are we going to be? How long? How long, O Lord, for your salvation? Shall persecution and trials and stuff endure forever? Then Zechariah spoke to them and said, turn, amen. Everybody said to me, turn. Turn you to the stronghold and remain prisoners of hope. That is, in the face of the impossibility, in the face of hopelessness, in the face of, I don't know where my hope or my salvation may come from, you are bound to your hope. You are welded to your hope. You are shackled to your hope. No Satan can lose you from it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many a times, if I tell you over the years, my own hopes and stuff, and many of them look like it's not working out, I developed something that I do. I didn't know, I didn't plan it, but I do it at times. When it's overwhelming and it's so hard and I just don't know how is this going to happen and it's just, Lord, I've prayed. What more can I do? I have a way. I take a little piece of paper, a tiny one, and I write what I'm hoping for. I write what I am believing God for and declare that my eyes shall see the salvation of God. A tiny piece of paper. I will fold it and stock it somewhere that's in the house or wherever, that At times for years, I will not even know that it's there. And on few occasions, when another situation comes, and I'm at that point again, I'm crying and say, what is to be done? God, in his mercy, will allow me to fight. One of them was a black folder, office folder. And I talked this somewhere. That must have been 8 years ago or so on, that I wrote this thing and tucked it inside there and just left it. And one day I decided to clean my cabinet and I was going to throw away some of the old files and stuff. And I saw this thing on one corner. When I write it like that, I just forget it and move on. And I opened it and I read what I wrote and I saw my situation there. I saw where I was then. At the moment of despair, at time of hopelessness, I wrote and put it down and said, Lord, when will my salvation come on this issue? And by the time I found it again, blessed be the name of the Lord, that issue was done, completed, and the Lord has done it even more than I expected. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I said, behold, said the Lord, I prophesied to myself, even as the Lord has done it for me on this situation, this present situation, I will have the same testimony in Jesus' name. Because I know that as prisoners of hope, the Lord's plan, he said in Jeremiah, he said, I know the thought I have towards you. It's 29:11. Thought of what? Thought of peace. To give you your expected end. Your expectation is your hope. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord. Thought of peace, not of evil, to give you your hope at the end. That is the promise of God. Yes, Satan will challenge your hope. Satan will challenge your expectation. He will use instruments of different type to challenge that hope. And at times he wake you up right in the middle of the night and say, there is no hope. Tell him he's a liar in the name of Jesus Christ. The captive of Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, came back to this situation. They felt that they were in a second exile because they were expecting the Messianic kingdom to come. Israel is always expecting that till today. They have this willing wall they go to and hold on. And at times they say, where is that coming from? There's nothing more for us here. They just gave up. And the man of God said, no. Return to the stronghold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The audacity of hope is willingness to believe God in the face of impossibilities. That's the audacity of hope. And if you are looking at somebody to back you up, that's where you have a problem. If you are looking at your pastor or whoever to be the one that will carry you through this situation, there's only one place and one person alone, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, the world have come up with almost seven types of hope, different types of hope. Inborn hope, expectation hope, denial hope. They have just so many of them. The hope that is a unrealistic one, realistic one, and so on. I was looking at this and so many types of hope. And today the word hope is bandied and thrown away like anything. Are you coming to church today? I hope so. Are you going to go and get a coffee to drink? I hope so. Are you doing this? I hope so. But for me and you, there is only one type of hope. Amen? That hope, he says, my hope is built on nothing else than in Jesus' blood and righteousness. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. Delusional environment. Thing that seems to be there not. If you tie your hope on any man, on anything, on what you have or what you think you are, that you are giving yourself opportunity, Put your hope on that solid rock, that stronghold. He has never failed, neither will he fail in Jesus' mighty name. The stone of Israel, he says, is not a man. Neither is he son of man. Say, has he spoken and will he not do it? There is no variability. It's just like, okay, you have to do this, that, and that, that, that. That's not our God with him. When he says what he says, what he intends to do, he will do it. The many problem we have is that we give God time. Because we feel time is running out. But God has his own agenda. God has his own plan. God has his own way of doing things. He will do it, and he will do it to his glory alone in Jesus' mighty name. Some experience was done to show the efficacy of hope. They used rat in this experience. One, they used light. Another one, they used water. We're going to talk about the one with water. So they gathered a lot of Norwegian rats, what I had, and they put these rats on something like a tub, cold, and then put them on it, and they were pouring water on their back, jetting water on them. It's a very hopeless situation for this, the cold, frigid environment for these rats they're using for experiment. And the rats continued to swim until they just felt hopeless. 17 minutes, they checked the time. 17 minutes, and the rats started to sink to the bottom. They gave up hope to die. They quickly scooped them out, put them in the cage, warm cage, fed them, gave them food, tricked them well, you know, took care of them. Days later on, they brought the same rats to the same situation, to the same condition. Instead of 17 minutes, they said that this rat swam for 37 hours. From 17 to 37 hours. The first time that your trial come, look like overwhelming. But those trials will give you strength for overcoming. So they asked them, why would this rat from 17 minutes to 37 hours on the second trial? They say because they have hope. Their situation have taught them that there is hope for deliverance. Hope is on the way. The first time they didn't know, they've never been in that scenario, they have not tried, they've not been put through the Wrangler per se. So they have no hope. But after that one and they were saved, their inborn survival instinct told them, keep on swimming, keep on fighting, keep on holding on, because the payday is coming in Jesus' mighty name. Deliverance is on the way. So they swam hundreds of percent over their strength. Because there is hope. The line I work is medical profession. And my business, to God's glory, have 5-star rating. That's the highest rating you can have. And one day I was looking at people who have given us rating and stuff. I saw that many of them are people that I took care of personally or ministered to. And I started to wonder why, because some of the people that help sort out in the business are better experienced, they know what they are doing clinically more than me and stuff. And I realized that in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, whatever, they don't give you what they call wrong expectation. They don't give you any kind of hope. It's cut and dry. In fact, they warn you against it. Don't give any false hope. One man of God went to pray, William Branham went to pray one time for somebody, nurses and doctor. Don't give him any hope. He's done and gone. You see, when the parameter is like this, the lab shows this, The diagnosis shows this, you might survive. When it's here, but when it is here, you are already out of this world. Say, you are looking at what you as a man think. I am looking at the promises of the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So many of these people that I've ministered to personally, I have been the owner of the business, luxury of time to stay with them and talk to them and stuff. And I noticed that those are the ones that I start to instill hope in them. Start to tell them, don't give up. These are strange to them. That's not what they are told in the environment of treatment. So I tell them that there's possibility through God's grace. Some of them pray with them. Some of them minister to them. Some of them lead them to the Lord. I remember one that says, one request I have. The day of my, if I'm going home to the Lord or whatever, because he gave his life, I want you to be at the hospital and hold my hand. I fulfill that promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And some of them, God actually delivered. And they lived to give testimony. So I was reading through some of them. And one of the comments of the wife of this is that there was hope. This person gave us hope. Because there was, we've got the point that there is no hope again. Everybody is telling us to throw our hands up. Say, hang on to your hope. Brethren, I want you to know that when you gave up your hope, when you gave up your hope, you are like a man in a battlefield that have dropped their sword or wave a flag of surrender. Now, what happens is when you do that, you are now at the mercy of the enemy. And the enemy we face has no mercy in him. Satan has no compassion. It is not in his nature. So when you give up your hope, your expectation, in any trial, in any situation you might be facing, you have dropped your sword. Then you are at the mercy of him who is merciless. So that's why God said to them, go back to the stronghold. That is where your refuge is. Go back to the stronghold. That is where your deliverance is. Go back to the stronghold. That is where God will perform for you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord will perform for each and every one of us here. No matter the circumstances, no matter the situation you are facing, that looks so hopeless, that looks like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, that looks like, my testimony will not come forth. I say in Jesus' name, your testimony will come forth. Amen. Believe God. Believe God. Let's open to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope, not just the God of salvation this time, but the God of hope. God is hope. God is there to give you hope. That hope is bound on his word. He said that faith is an assurance of things hoped for. An evidence of things you haven't even seen. So now, when your hope is being tested and shaken, do not take it as the end of the road, as many doors, and start to heal for themselves system. Broken system that has not the ability to hold water, and they forget the source of the living water himself. Hold on to your hope. The way God will bring it, the way God will make it, is another thing that at times we expect God to do it this way or that way, through this and that, that and that. But God have a way of bringing it, and when he does it, blessed be the name of the Lord, you will know that this is the finger of the Lord. You will know that this is only God could have done it. So he said, now the God of all hope fill you with all joy. That's a tough one. Because the Bible said that hope deferred what? Make the spirit what? Sick. When hope is abandoned, put in the back burner, forgotten, what happens is that you start to go into depression. Many people that have committed suicide and have ministered to many who tried. Remember one young man. So I don't want anybody to know. So I went to Mexico. So all the way to Mexico to kill yourself. Yep. Wow. Why not in America here? So didn't want to do it where anybody would recognize him. But somehow he went to Mexico, and God in his mercy allowed him not to do it and came back. I said, what got you to this? He said, I got to a point that the pain of living, the hopelessness of the whole situation was overwhelming, and I feel that dying is better than living. So many people have ministered to, have spoken to, or God has used us to reach to, that have gotten to. It's when you lose all hope. But know what it says here, the God of all hope, blessed be the name, all joy. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that ye may abound, shackled, bound, welded to that your hope. Don't let it go, brethren. Don't abound on hope. Do your part. Because many a times, it is just round the corner. Many a times, it is about to happen. And that's when many of us fail it. May it never be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? If you give up hope, you will stop praying. If you give up hope, you will start expectation. If you give up hope, you will just say, whatever we be, we be. No. God doesn't work like that. You have to still believe. Let's open again to Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25. Read with me. For we are saved by what? Hope. But hope that you see is seen is no more hope. For what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? 25, please. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we wait patiently for we with patience wait for it. If I stated that we are saved by hope, our salvation, our deliverance from so many situations is our hope on him who have promised and able to do it. And many a times you don't even see the hope, but it is there. You can't grab it, you can't touch it, you can't feel it, your five senses cannot accommodate it. Because it's everybody around, everything shows you it's hopeless. This story I'm going to tell, may it never be our portion in Jesus' name. A man believed that there is a gold in his property. By the side of the mountain, he started digging. Every spare time he had for years and years and years, he digged and digged and digged. And people would say, you are crazy, stop digging and stuff, and keep on digging. One day, he dug and then met a bundle of rocks. He can blast it. It's going to take time to offload those rocks and stuff. I don't know how thick the rock is. He can go around it. Is he going to take a challenge? He gave up. He gave up. Packed up and later on died and stuff. Another person bought the property. What is that hole for? It's a crazy guy that was here before I was digging. He took up digging, saw the rock, got around it, and immediately he hit the mother load. That's where the bundle and bundle of ghosts are. You see, when God is about to break through for you, in your hope and expectation, mark my word from my experience, the greatest challenge will come. It gets darkest towards the dawn time when the days are about to break. It gets really dark, pitch fog dark. Satan will throw the last ditch effort to hold you down from that expectation to be fulfilled. He will raise armies of help to dissuade you from hoping. My marriage is about to break down, some will say. Am I going to hold it together? I can't. Let me pack up and leave. This health issue I've been fighting, it's time to give up. This, that, and that, they pack up at the last minute. But just the deliverance, the God's deliverance, is just around the corner if you will only hold on a little longer. It may take a day, two, or a week, or whatever. But one thing I will not do, and you shouldn't do it in any expectation in your life, in anything you are believing, is to give up. Don't give up. Be fanatical about it for all I care. Shackle to that hope. Hold to that hope. Be bound to that hope. Because God will come through for you in Jesus' name. Your payday is coming. It is guaranteed. The man at the pool of Bethesda is thinking about him. Think it's a day, night, or something. 38 good years, he was shackled to his hope. I wonder that day that the deliverance will come. He was crippled, he cannot move, and every time he comes to this pool, somebody that is more agile or have family, we take them when the angels steer the water. Stir the water, stir the water. See, whoever get into that spring, into that pool, will be healed. So he would drag himself. His expectation was that somehow he will be the first to get into the pool all the time. But it has not happened for years and years and years and years. Yet he still comes. He drag himself to it and stay as close as possible. And when that pool turns at the season of the deliverance, somebody else will jump in before him. While some of us will start to pray, kill all of them. Take them out of the way, Lord. Do this and that and that and that. But no, he continued coming, and his deliverance came in another form and manner altogether. It wasn't the pool. It wasn't the angel. Jesus Christ showed up himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A bigger miracle. I bet he got the best of miracle than every other person there. Because he was made every whit whole. God threw in a double portion for him. God gave him extra. He said, I guarantee you, there's double portion coming for each and every one of us that will believe unto the Lord. Every one of those pieces I found that I wrote when in the darkest hour I cried unto God and put it away and believed. Each time, it was more than I expected. When I found it and read it, I have cause to rejoice. Not only did God do it, he did it above and beyond what my expectation was. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I encourage you, brethren, to hold on to God. Last scripture we're going to read as we stand on our feet, everybody. It's Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. For your shame, ye shall have what? Double. Say it with me. For your shame, ye shall have what? Double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. You will rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be your portion in Jesus' name. Don't yield your hope. On Christ, he says, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is but sinking sand. When darkness seemed to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within their veil. In every high and stormy wind, the storms of life want to throw you like those rats. Look at the hope we have. You say, my anchor holds within their veil. That's a place of mercy, the mercy seat of God. To not be because of you, to not be because of the person you are, or situation or whatever, it is because God's mercy and his name has to be exalted. So brethren, so you are watching me this morning, I say, Emmanuel, I have gone through a lot. You wouldn't believe how much. And I've tried to hold on to hope. And it's been years. Just how long can I hold on? It's a reasonable argument to some extent. I've done prayed up. I've done fasting, fasted up. I've done giving up virtually everything that God said that can help in his mercy to revise my situation. Yet, as of today, my hope is just as far from realization as the day that I started believing. It is called storms of life. It says here it's a high and stormy gale. When you're in the sea, in that tiny tub of boats, the storm will come. It looks so much like a mountain, and you're standing on the land and you see and you think, this boat is just going to be. But somehow this boat will climb on top of these storms and come to level ground again. And you look at it and you say, what else can I do? Well, if there's nothing else you can do, do this. Don't give up your hope. Don't yield. I also have a thing I used to do, and I still do it. There are certain things I put in a place, two things I've asked God in that way. Every time I see that thing, I start thanking God for what he has done already. Maybe a picture of a loved one, a picture of that thing you want to have and you couldn't have it. And the enemy tried to, I promise myself, whenever I see this, whatever it is, I will start blessing God. I will start thanking God. So each time I come across it, no matter how I feel, no matter how it was, no matter how it is at that moment, I will start blessing the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for having done it. Thank you because you are giving me my heart desire. Thank you because my expectation shall not be cut short. Thank you because you are God of that keeps your promise, your covenant with me is forever. You challenge the gates of hell. You don't give up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. For when he shall come with the trumpet sound, he say, in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, standing faultless before the throne. For my hope is built on nothing less than in that Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust even the sweetest of the flames, but completely wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is but sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All ground is sinking sand. One more time, let's say it together. On Christ. Let us believe.